Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Hello, and welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. This week, we are continuing to read Blood Games. Last week, we read. I wanted to do this by myself. That was why I kept failing to get Reed or to find the kids. Chris might look into the kids, as we'd agreed, but if I was there, I could lead the search while taking advantage of their resources for other purposes. How many more people had to die before I was willing to accept help that was freely offered? I had doubted Maxine's intentions before I'd met her, but now that I had, I did not think she was looking to increase the value of her business. She was motivated by something else. She had been on the verge of telling me about it multiple times. Whatever it was, she could keep her secret for now, as long as her offer to fight Data Raider was legitimate. I pulled out my phone and dialed Chris. And now, Episode 9. Chris gave me a tight smile when she arrived at the main entrance of the office building. Her dark hair had been twisted into a bun and she had changed clothes since I had last seen her. Earlier in the day, she had been wearing a suit. She now wore slacks and a white blouse. As she twisted the lock to open the door, I expected to receive a lecture, at least an admonition of some sort. "Glad you came to your senses." The smile did not touch her eyes, and her voice was cold, like she wanted to say something more but was refraining from doing so. I was glad to avoid the chastisement. She had to come down from her office to let me in because it was after hours. As the glass door locked into place, I looked at the city. The firelight was visible in between buildings, and the night sky was lit up to the point it looked like dawn, though it was not yet midnight. "You're my only option to stop this." I shrugged. At another time and place, I might not have said that, but I was tired and frustrated. If she misinterpreted my words to think I was either desperate or vulnerable, she would soon learn the truth. I was neither, and was prepared to leave at the first sign this was not working, or if it became apparent Maxine's intentions were like that of Reed and Peck. Chris shook her head. "If I ever find out you had anything..." She stopped when she saw my glare. "You know better than that," I said, pointedly, pushing past her and into the lobby. I was tired of people being taken in by those videos. If I were ever arrested and put on trial, something that became more likely the longer I stayed in the city, I would never have a prayer. I was taken aback when I took in the lobby. It had been busy before, and I'd had also a lot on my mind, so I had not noticed how spacious and ornate the room was. It made me think of Diagon's far more ostentatious lobby, and I had to remind myself that Franz Flowers did not have the whole building. They had one floor. They didn't own all this, they merely rented it, or at least that is what Chris claimed. "That video is so convincing," she said. "I must have watched it 20 times. "If I hear that one more time," I growled. Chris shrugged. "I get it, I'm sorry." This cannot be my only option, I thought. I trusted Chris more than anybody, but that was not saying much. As I walked beside her, I felt like I was walking into the lion's den. I had to be circumspect with any information I provided to Maxine, weighing her need for it against the potential it could be used against me or for power or profit. Before I'd met Maxine, a part of me had believed Chris kept some of what I had told her to herself, but I was beginning to wonder if that was accurate. I suspected that after each encounter she had drafted a report detailing everything down to what I had been wearing. From here on in, I was going to assume she would pass on anything I told her. I could not think of an occasion where I'd said something to her that I did not want getting back to the others, but I was certain I had let personal things slip that I would not want going into my file. When I had called Chris, she had invited me back to her office as if I had not left in a hurry. As far as she was concerned, or at least was trying to project, the conflict we had experienced was as good as water under the bridge. I could tell there was more brewing under the surface than she wanted to let on, but I did not care. I did not have time for niceties or to play politics. My mission was to destroy Reed and save the children, and keep Franz Flowers from profiting from my actions. Everything other than that was subordinate, even Peck, for the time being. I'd come here without stopping anywhere else. Given everything going on, I was hesitant to return to my basement apartment. If Reed had somehow managed to track my whereabouts using a satellite, I didn't need to bring him back to the home of Miss Delacruz. I wasn't positive the technology FaceRec brought to the table explained how they had managed to track me at Reading Market. I was afraid they had located my lair. There was a chance FaceRec was a ploy to make me confident they hadn't found my apartment. It was small, but I figured it was best to play the high odds as much as anything else. So I wasn't going home for a while. The thought depressed me, but I'd fought it off by thinking of Margaret and Benji. It was a small loss on a road that would require greater sacrifice before everything was said and done. Chris had offered to send a car, but I'd chosen to walk. The cold night air had helped clarify my thoughts and solidify my plans. I was not in a rush or in any immediate danger. My disguise was solid, and the police cars had passed me without stopping. It was only if Data Raider were to come that I needed to worry. A nagging voice in the back of my head told me Reed Warner was far from done with me yet. I could be certain of that, but little else. Why go to all the trouble? What did Reed have to gain by using the fake me to wreak havoc and terror on the city? Not even Peck had devolved into killing as many people as Reed. Not afraid to get his hands dirty indeed, I thought, remembering the words he had said when he looked at me over the barrel of a pistol. His guards had been surprised to see it. Shortly after that, against their desires, Reed had released me from my bonds, paving the way for me to escape. I'd never pondered much on it before, but his increasingly erratic behavior helped me see this action in a new light. Perhaps he had set me free because he'd thrived on the chaos and drama he created by doing crazy things. This was why my theory that FaceRec could be a sham was not so far-fetched. Reed was not as methodical and careful as Peck. He was willing to run higher risks to see if it would pay out for him. Perhaps that was why he had leveled an attack against his own company. I was certain that once the facts came out, Data Raider would have suffered a substantial loss in the fire. I just did not know what. When the elevator door shut, I opened my mouth to speak, but Chris put a hand on my arm and a finger to her lips. What did she take me for? I wasn't about to start a conversation on a sensitive topic. Of course, the elevator was monitored. She shook her head when she saw my confusion and mouthed the word Spectrum. I froze. It was installed here. I was not aware that it had been added to internal security networks. Shannon had mentioned something about it being incorporated all over the place, but I had figured I had years before I needed to worry about that. I had never thought that so much progress would be made in so little time. It was just over 7 months since Spectrum had first been released. If it could be installed in an elevator, it could be anywhere. I muttered a swear word and earned a frown from Chris. I had kept my voice low enough that I knew Spectrum was not going to recognize me. She paled, her nails digging into my arm, and I thought she might slap me. I could see the thought forming on her face and even begin to brace for a blow, but it never came. Instead, she ground her teeth as her nails came closer and closer to drawing blood. She rounded on me after we arrived at Franz Flowers and were 20 feet from the elevators. I told you to be careful. She spoke in what she must have thought was a whisper, but was loud enough Spectrum might have picked it up. Lucky for her, they were not monitoring for her voice. I snorted, making sure to whisper. I've been living with it for months. I know its limitations. We have nothing to fear. You don't know anything, she said. I raised an eyebrow at her increase in volume, but she went on, albeit in a quieter tone. It's strange, don't you think? A clumsy fool like you escaping detection. Peck doesn't care to locate you. He didn't before, but the FBI are breathing down his neck now. Shannon had told me that much. I looked back at the elevator. Is your security company going to contract with FaceRec? Every company worth its salt is beating down their door right now. Count your blessings, everything is on back order. It will take months to get out here. Once they do, your disguises will need to be more elaborate. I relaxed, but not by much. I was tempted to tell her what I knew about Data Raider's involvement with all this, but decided it was not the right time. It was going to be difficult measuring every word. I exhaled, hoping to clear my head. I needed to tell enough to get the help I needed, but to go no further than that. How do you know Peck didn't pick up on your whereabouts? She asked. Maybe he is stalling the feds so he can get to you first in his own due time. He's been laughing at you for weeks. They gotta have a team doing nothing more than keeping tabs on your whereabouts. Peck isn't the only one using it to hunt me, I said. Other companies have access, and they're not shy about using it. I pulled out my smartphone and didn't see a Spectrum notification. We're in the clear because I don't have an alert on my phone. I keep Spectrum running at all times. Her eyebrows rose. You what? Her voice became a squeak. Muted, of course. I'm going to strangle you, she said. That is the single stupidest thing you have ever done. We stopped in the conference room door where Chris had taken me before going to Maxine's office. If Daigon comes here, she left the thought unfinished as she walked into the room. The conference room was full. I should not have been surprised, but I was. Maxine swiveled in a chair at the head of the table and pointed a remote at the television on the wall, muting it. It was playing live news coverage of the fire burning in the background. It did not look much more under control than when I'd left an hour before. It also didn't appear as though it had grown either. Maybe they were getting a handle on it. It's good to see you again, Jake, she said. I looked around the room, feeling exposed and wishing she wouldn't have used my name. I thought I'd meet with Maxine and Chris, maybe Jolene too. There were 7 people in addition to Chris, Maxine, and I. If Chris doubted me about the video, how could I expect that they would believe it was not me? I had been ambushed, probably unintentional on Maxine's part, but that did not make me like it any better. I'd gone from 3 people knowing my identity to triple that. Maxine must have guessed my concern. These are my closest confidants, each one vetted through rigorous background checks and years of personal experience. I trust them with my life, and so can you. I had seen the loyalty Reed had procured from his own people. It was a small risk, but what if he had somebody on the inside at Franz Flowers? They would be loyal to him and slit Maxine's throat without blinking. Jolene sat beside Maxine, along with a couple of other women I'd seen in the office during my first visit. I did not recognize any of the men, but one stood out. He was older, with gray hair cropped close to his scalp, and he wore an immaculate suit. Former military, no doubt. None of them were surprised by my presence, and it occurred to me the woman I had seen earlier in the day had been aware of my identity. It wasn't much of a stretch to think that anybody Maxine had working on this project of hers knew who I was. They had read Chris's file on me. Have a seat, Maxine said, pointing to a chair on one side of the table. No, I said, shaking my head. I'm not talking with so many people in the room. You and Chris can stay. The others must go. The military man grimaced at my tone, and I looked ready to say something, but Maxine spoke first. People are dying, she said. And more will die if my information gets into the wrong hands, I said. I was not about to back down. I jerked a thumb towards the door. They go or I go. Maxine and I engaged in a glaring contest while the others shifted uncomfortably. All that is, except for the military man. He stared at me with unblinking eyes, and even though I did not look his way, I could feel his stare boring into me. How have you managed to work with him for so long? Maxine asked Chris. It's been a chore, I assure you. Chris's eyes could have been throwing daggers at me for all the anger I saw burning there. I cave, with one exception, Maxine said. Jolene stays. I frowned as Jolene smirked. In the end, I relented because I had made my point. It was a small concession considering I got everybody else out of the room. I nodded. Fine. It was not lost on me that Maxine had made a point as well, but that was for the best. I did not want her thinking that I would be so intractable they could not work with me. As the room cleared, I endured another long glare from the military man, but he did not make any attempt to speak. Nor did Maxine make any introductions on their way out. Once the door was shut, Chris turned to me. Spill it.
That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com, and you will receive a free ebook copy of War of the Fathers. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker. All rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LLC.